Okay. Our Father, that we come to you as Jesus Christ, by example, told us we should. We come to you. We thank you. We appreciate all you do for you, for us, and you and your son both, as you care for us. We're thankful for that. We ask your blessing here this evening. Please bless this study, inspire the teaching, the listening, the discussion. Help us to be focused on what we're discussing, what we're thinking is God's word that'll penetrate our hearts and minds, what we can learn each time we have a Bible basics, because the Bible is basic. It's the basic, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. It is the basic foundation of everything as we know it physically, with God's Spirit opening our minds. And when we neglect that, our foundation becomes rocky and unstable. And as James 1, 7 and 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And we're not in tune with you, we're unstable. We may think we're fine, but we're not. So we ask your blessing here. Protect us from the evil one. Thank you that they reburied and dug some more cables today, and hopefully the internet will be fine this evening. And just pray that if you would keep that working until at least we're done. And we just thank you now and turn this time over to you and praise you and ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay. We finished the book of Judges last week. And tonight I'm going to start with the introduction and the overview of Samuel, Chronicles, and Kings. Someone said, boy, we're going to have 1 Samuel this week. No, it's not what I sent out, and it's not what I had on the announcements. It's not what, if I said that, I misspoke, because we'll start that in part next time. But this will be an introduction, hopefully a decent overview. Why do I say of Samuel, Chronicles, and Kings? Well, I showed you this book, I think, last week. Yes, it was last week. It's by James Newsom, and it's edited by James Newsom Jr. Sorry. It's a synoptic harmony of Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles with related passages from Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezra. And I'm not using this book, but it's a good book for resource to have if you want to read and get a good feel for a lot of what we're going to talk about. So this beginning of this series of the former prophets, we will go through for a while 1 Samuel 1 through 15 and 1 Chronicles 1 through 9. And I'm going to share something here. So bear with me a minute because I got to shrink and I got to expand. Okay. And I'm going to try to share this document. And can you all see that, what it says? The chronology of Kings and Chronicles. I sent that to all of you via email, or all of you that have email, and I mailed hard copies to some of you that don't like to use email yet. And I'm going to keep leaning on you until you're 100 years old or dead, that you need to use email and electronic media because it saves me a lot of work. So that is what it looks like. I sent that. Hopefully, Harry and some of you that had difficulty reading the other one, it will be readable, clear enough. If you can't read that, you need to set up a doctor's appointment. But that should be clear enough that you can see well. And I will refer to that from time to time. First and Second Samuel, you're going to have to listen carefully here. If you had to have a cup of coffee or you're tired, take a nap and come back and listen to the recording. But I'm not going to misspeak here, I hope, but this is going to be technical. First and Second Samuel and First and Second Kings are a story flow. They are known as the four books of the kingdom. The first book of Samuel, otherwise called the first book of Kings, and if you look in your Bible, it will probably say that. The second book of Samuel, otherwise called the second book of the Kings. The first book of the Kings, commonly called the third book of the Kings. And the second book of the Kings, commonly called the fourth book of the Kings. They were one book consisting of four volumes. Samuel and Kings were written to continue the historical information after Joshua and Judges, which is where we are now. We have finished Joshua and Judges. Chronicles is different. It covers the same material, but it covers it in a different way. Chronicles serves as a supplement to Samuel and Kings, not a replacement. You'll understand the difference between supplement and replacement. And if you don't, stop me and we'll go back through. To give us a story flow, I'm going to harmonize to the best of my human ability Samuel, Chronicles, and Kings. Now, the thing you note about Chronicles, which is important, is that it was written at a much later time than Samuel and Kings. Samuel and Kings had already been completed. And Chronicles was prepared in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah at the close of the Old Testament period to summarize the history of the Old Testament. It was written from a priestly standpoint, centered where? At Jerusalem. First and Second Samuel primarily deal with material concerning Saul and David. Again, this is an introduction and an overview. First and Second Samuel deal with material primarily concerning Saul and David. Chronicles zeroes in on or focuses on a handful of kings. And Chronicles tells us very little about the northern kingdom, Israel. Is only mentioned in passing. And the history of the reign of King David is focused on in more detail. Then we focus in on Solomon, Jehoshaphat, and Josiah. And it focuses on specific periods in history to emphasize parts of the story that had not been frankly considered or deemed that really that important about 200 years earlier when Samuel and Kings had been written. If you're not confused yet, stay tuned. It gets more complicated. When in Chronicles, the historical events, as they're presented, what's interesting, they're presented more from a religious angle, or if you will, a priestly standpoint. And to remind the Jews of their patriarchal, if you would call that, origins, it gives summary of my favorite thing in the Bible, haha, genealogies, which is critically important, but can be as boring as all get out sometimes. So-and-so begets so-and-so begets so-and-so begets so-and-so. The sad thing nowadays, you ask people, who was your great, great, great grandfather? They're like, I have no idea. I think I know who my grandfather was. And so it gives a summary of genealogies, and it summarizes information that was necessary from a historical standpoint, information that would have been otherwise what? Lost, disappeared. And it served to remind the Jews of their patriarchal beginnings by tracing the genealogies all the way back to your and my great grandfather, Adam. Did you realize we're all related? So we start singing, we are family. I got all my sisters. No, okay. Brothers, all right. Some of you don't remember that song. Some of you are smiling, you do. One of the things that is important in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah was what? To establish lineage. It was important that this documentation, if you will, be presented in the correct way. Because the line from which the Messiah would come had to be documented. Chronicles is devoted to the reign of King David. It primarily centers in on Jerusalem as God's chosen city and the dynasty of David as God's chosen line of kings. Chronicles focused in on the covenant God made with David. It served to point out to the Jews the falseness of the Samaritans' claim, which said the worship of God did not have to be centered in Jerusalem. Now, how many of you remember the question the woman at the well asked Christ? Don't feel bad if you don't just recall it immediately. Let's go over to John chapter 4. If you were listening to Joe's 1 hour and 17 minute sermon message from Sabbath, what I'm about to talk about a little bit, he had no idea that I had prepared this ahead of time. It's just kind of interesting, to say the least, as some would say. The question the woman at the well asked Christ, John chapter 4, verse 20 to 23. And I quote, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." So this argument was still going on at the time of Christ, and it's still going on today. Romans chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Romans 3, verse 1 and 2. "What advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way. Chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God." So the Jews were the ones responsible for preserving the Masoretic text or Masoretic text. This is where you look for the authoritative of information, not the Samaritan text. Now, why do I mention that? Because Chronicles was written to emphasize to the people at the time between the testaments. I gave an entire Bible study series. I did it up in Wisconsin back in the 80s and 90s on the intertestamental period. Chronicles was written to emphasize to the people at the time between the testaments, which was the 5th century BC to the time of Christ, a 400 to 500 year period, whom they needed to look to. It was written during a time of competing claims of who represented God, which is what we have going on today within the Church of God and the world as well. Where do we look? To this, to that, to this. And it's causing more and more confusion instead of unity, because everybody's right. And like the book of Judges, in those days, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And so it was written to explain to the Jews from generation to generation why it was they needed to look to Jerusalem, and the authority there is a representative of God, and not the authority somewhere else that someone may claim they represent God as a teacher. And so Samuel wrote, wow, no A's on. Look at that. I misspoke. Samuel wrote the early part of 1 Samuel, basically that part on up until his death. It was continued by others in a prophetic office, and Isaiah is credited among the Jews as writing part of it. Jeremiah evidently put the finishing touches on it. So Samuel and Kings, along with Joshua and Judges, constitute the part that we are covering known as the former prophets. They, and I'm going to quit fairly early to open up for discussion tonight on this overview, I think, because I can tell by some of the looks that some of you have spaghetti in your head, and I understand because as I was preparing this, so did I. These former prophets gave us a narrative of the history of Israel and Judah. All history has been prophecy, and all prophecy will be history. It's just a matter of your time frame. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the 12 minor prophets are called what? The latter prophets. And we've already gone through the 12 minor prophets. Chronicles gives a summation of the whole Old Testament, all of it. Ezra wrote it at the time of the Restoration. And the book of Ezra picks up the story where Chronicles leaves off. This is why it's important when we read God's word to not just read this scripture and then jump over here. Yeah, here a little, there a little, but that is not talking about what a lot of people think. The here a little, there a little, that's a whole sermon message by itself that perhaps I need to give and explain what that means. And so you read these books and you go through and you put the pieces together and they harmonize. First Chronicles 2, 3, and 4 give a lot of detailed information, as I said, on genealogy. And the Jews were coming back from Babylonian captivity, if you remember. And they needed to know where their roots were, the connection they had with the past. From the time Nebuchadnezzar invaded Judah, which would be called the first captivity, until the time when the Jews began to return, was basically about 70 years. Here's what's interesting. It has just been a few years past 70 years since World War I, and I am amazed at how people don't have any recollection or a clear memory of World War I. Was there such a thing? The Jews, if you remember, were dislocated and taken to Babylon. The younger generation was coming back, but the younger people who were born in Babylon, it was their grandparents who had come from Judah. And the younger generation was coming back to Judah. It was an arduous trip. And some portions of God's word, the Bible, have had more importance for certain periods of time. And some have said, why do we have all these genealogies stuck in there? It is perhaps more important for you and me to understand Matthew 24 than to understand all the nuts and bolts and the intricacies of 1 Chronicles 23 and 24. But for the Jews, it was very important. And all portions of the Bible, friends and brethren and family, are important. They all have importance. Some people say, well, that doesn't really matter. What matters is this. Every word of God that's God-breathed, I believe, and inspired was recorded for our edification, for our growth, for our learning, for our conversion, for our changing, becoming a new creation. We don't say only the Pauline epistles because Joe Myers loves that, right? Or only the book of Revelation because it reveals prophecy. And some of you love prophecy, I know that. And that's fine. If they, you like that sort of thing, that would be just the sort of thing you like. But God's word in its entirety, all of it, is important. They all have importance. But sometimes some parts have greater importance at certain periods of time. I think you would agree with that. Matthew 24 would not have been important to them because it wasn't even written. The Jews that returned needed a sense of continuity, how they were related to the generations that came before. It's interesting as young people get older and they get to be up in their 50s, 60s, 70s, they finally start to really think about, wow, I wish I knew more about my history of my family. Because before that, most of them were like, oh, it's kind of interesting, I guess, but I got to take care of the kids and I got to feed them and I got to do this and do that. And sometimes it takes maturity and years to say, wow, that's important. And so it provides us a framework of understanding. It gives us some details that do have significance in prophecy and how the Bible fits together. Let's go for a moment to 1 Chronicles 5, verse 1 and 2, because it's important. Now, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, he was indeed the firstborn, but because he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, so that the genealogy is not listed according to the birthright. Yet Judah prevailed over his brothers, and from him came a ruler, although the birthright was Joseph's. Why is that important? There was this distinction, if you just read it or heard it, between the birthright and the scepter. It's spelled out. It was information that some or maybe would have been taken for granted, but it needed to be spelled out. It needed to be clarified, or people simply would not have understood. And as you're going through, 1 Chronicles 6 will provide information concerning the Levites and the genealogy of the Levites. In 1 Chronicles 7 and 8, lists the various tribes and the genealogy of Saul. In 1 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse 1, so all Israel was recorded by genealogies, and indeed they were inscribed in the book of the kings of Israel. So it gives us that information. If we go to 1 Chronicles 22, it goes back and it gives the story of the things they reconstituted in what? The temple. And those things have been established for many years, but there had been a break for many years. And these things were actually established all the way back to King David and Samuel. By the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, you were well over 100 years after the final destruction of Jerusalem. People came on the scene and simply didn't have a clue. They didn't understand. They said they were like, what I don't, what is this? If we each individually, unless you're a history buff and have researched this all out, here's an example. You and I don't understand the way things were functioning during the time of the war between the states of the Civil War. And the grass majority, the vast majority, rather, maybe the grass majority too, but the vast majority of our politicians have no clue what the Civil War was about. Do you know it was not about slavery? Have they read Emancipation? Have they studied slavery? Have they studied why there was a war? Or do they just hear something and it sounds good or bad and jump on the bandwagon, rambling away? And here's the sad things, folks. The sad thing. Within the Church of God, most of us here have a long history of where we've come from in our lifetime, in the 6 or 7 or 8 decades. Most of the people in the Church of God now don't. And they'll say things like, that don't matter. Well, maybe it doesn't matter, except if you want to understand why we are where we are today. The things we face within the confines of the body, how we think, what we teach, who we listen to, what we do, what we teach others. And so, next time, we'll have a discussion now, but next time we will begin with 1 Samuel chapter 1. And again, as we go through it, I will be referring frequently, often, primarily between 1 Samuel and 1 Chronicles, but we will at times pull in Kings, because these four books constituted, these four volumes rather, constituted one book. And the historical information, what we're going to read, what took place, the lesson for you and me is very profound. And so I want to open it up for discussion, comments, thoughts. And I hope I didn't lose any of you or partially during that, but you can go back and listen to the recording carefully and stop it and go back and replay it if you'd like. So feel free. And Joe's got his volume off. He's ready to go. Here we go. He's got his thing unmuted. He's got a thought of it. Maybe
I'm
not.
ready if you want to hear So I imagine, I mean, I find that story fascinating, or information fascinating, that those Jews that were taken to Babylon, had come back after a period of, what was it, 70 years, and had lost some of their connection, perhaps, with maybe what their grandparents had known. So when they come back into the land of Israel, I think there's some historical evidence of that, of their forgetfulness of some of the things that their grandparents knew, and also some of the influences that came from their exposure to the Babylonish culture and customs. So I think that still spills over into some of the things that are written today, perhaps in the Mishnah and in different Jewish writings. So I won't go any further into that. But I also find it fascinating that Ezra and Nehemiah had access to scrolls that recorded potentially a lot more information than they wrote in the Chronicles. Not that that ever will be found, but wouldn't that be an amazing thing if such documents were found at some point?
And then falls in the understanding that God may say, you don't need to
We
know
don't
that,
need to know that. Yes.
which is always a human tendency. God, we need to know everything. And he says, you see through a glass darkly, I reveal to you what you need to know. And you're delving into things you don't need to know. No,
It's
God, you can't
possible.
tell me. Remember Eve? She said, what? The serpent said, God does know. He's held back on you because he knows that if you eat of that tree, then your mind will be open and you'll be like him. And that was a damnable lie. And it caused the whole world to be where it is now, as that started it.
Yep.
And he's very good at that. And he's alive and well today, too. So that's why Paul said with Timothy, you have these itching ears, ever searching, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You think you found some small thing that's so important, but you're missing, as we say, you're hitting yourself in the face with the trees because you can't see the forest. And
Yeah.
God records, has had recorded what's important for us to know what we need to know for salvation. We're the ones that always have to know more than God reveals. That's a human tendency. How many of you have done this as a child? You see a sign that says wet paint. When mom and dad's not looking, you go, whoop. Oh, it's not wet. See, it lied. Or, oh, it's wet. Of course, maybe none of you probably have done that. But so I think it's interesting how, not interesting, it's inspired. We're going to see that as we go through this and start breaking it down verse by verse. The importance of we live by every word of God. We don't add to it or take away. And Joe, as you talked about Sabbath, we have the old covenant, we have the new covenant. You can't keep the old covenant more perfectly and subvert the new covenant. But that's a constant battle. And it was a battle back then. And the other side of the coin is to forget everything that was done before. It's all done by Jesus at Calvary. You don't have to do anything. That's the other total opposite yuck. But we don't want to go the other way either. And that's a human tendency. So, anyway.
Well, just think of Ezra and Nehemiah with their mule train or whatever. Knowing what I know about the scrolls, I mean, they must have had packs with all of the documents which by which they wrote the inspired Chronicles from. That was 100 years. So the fact that they were able to maintain that in a library or something somewhere, and then obtain the information. And I'm not saying I want to see it or anything. Just find that, I find that part fascinating that they had that much diligence to record all that information so we could have it.
Hey, anybody else?
I have one correction to make.
Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, it's been over 100 years since World War I. It's been over 80 years since World War II. So.
I first went through this material. I'm reading, looking at some of my notes from 1988. So that gives me the misspoke. Do I get a, I'm sorry, you're right. You were right and I'm wrong and it's okay.
Yes, it's okay.
Yeah, you're all right.
Yeah, I should have, my reference point was, let me see. Let me see how many. I got to see how many years I'm off now. I'm really all discombobulated.
That makes it even more valid today because how many of us remember World War I or World War II? We don't pay any attention to history and we're going to repeat it.
So I was 37 years off, so I said 70 plus 107 from the time. Okay, yeah. Thank you, Bill, for bringing up that horrendous oversight, which is definitely, it was. I misspoke, and so that'll be on the corrected version. Those that listen to the whole thing can, maybe Gail can change that. No, you don't need to. It's always nice to have
Get in the
somebody that's
comments.
listening. Huh?
They'll hear it in the comments.
Yeah, it's okay. Thank you, Jackie. I agree. Nobody else?
Well, I'm looking forward to this history about the kings of Israel and Judah. So I'm glad we're getting into this one.
Well, we'll see if you're glad you're getting into it once I get into
What I find,
I,
and it may be outside the course of this Bible study, but we can always do it as a committee of one. But when we're studying the kings particularly, there's other prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Zechariah, and they're prophesying at the time of King Ahab, for example, is to read parts of their story at the same time. And I have a chronological Bible. And it takes bits of 1 Kings and bits of Samuel or Isaiah and bits of Hezekiah, and they put it all together. So you have everybody that was alive at one time, and you get what they wrote and why they wrote it. And it's very interesting to see who, like, which of the prophets were alive when certain kings were alive, and you find out why they were preaching what they did. So it's
which is, bear with me here, why I referenced this. Because if you look at it carefully and go through, that will help as we go through what we're talking about, the chronology of Kings and Chronicles. So that will help you.
Yeah.
And I do not have, what did you call that Bible you have?
It's called a chronological Bible.
Yeah, the chronological Bible. The chronological Bible I have is right
Well, it's
here, and
a
it's my,
chronological journey through the Bible, culture, and history. So
yeah, I have one of those on my shelf over here.
there's different versions of this. This is different than the Fred Coulter chronological Bible. That's an inspired order thing. So this is a different
Yeah,
chronological thing.
mine is up here, and it's not as chronological as it used to be as far as recall. So those of you that are older and have that problem will have more compassion and mercy. But yeah, it behooves all of us to study. You know, if you only have time to hook up and listen and go through this and study that, that's your choice, and I'm happy you're here. But at Bible study to understand things takes work and for personal growth, and you know, there's outside sources. But it's a process. I could have tackled a lot easier things than the minor prophets and the former prophets, and I could have taken, Kathy wanted me to go through the Pauline epistles, and I said, not yet.
Tough things are more profitable, more valuable.
Okay, anybody else? Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Bill. Charles, Bill Garrett, thank you. And we still have plenty of time here. I left it open on purpose. I was hoping that somebody would say, can you repeat that first paragraph at the beginning again? But hopefully, you all followed through that.
Well, hey, can I ask you a question about the you mentioned that you had given a sermon on kind of this period of time between the last prophet and the New Testament time. It was like a period of 400 or 500 years.
I didn't give a sermon on it. I gave a series of Bible study, and let me see if I have the book here. Somewhere. Here we go.
So some of that would be, and not that I say that all the apocryphal books are completely accurate, like the Maccabees, and some of those books would fill in some of that
Yeah,
information
I was just going
of
to mention the
detail.
Maccabees.
Yeah.
I can't find too many things, but
It's, I mean, I think I find that it's somewhat interesting because it's almost like a, I don't know if it's lost time, but in scripture, it's not really evident if you read the Bible that there was a period of time of like 400 or 500 years, that there were, just kind of quiet, I guess. There wasn't a lot of prophets and a lot of texts wasn't being composed, at least not what's been recorded and compiled in the scriptures. So, I mean, yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
So, I mean, it's a similar thing with what Ezra and Nehemiah did with the Chronicles, is to try to compile some of that information and history and make sure that they did not lose their heritage, you know, after they came back from Babylon. They did understand their forefathers. And your comments about World War II, yeah, and even World War I, much further back, are certainly apropos, I guess, considering our current political, or maybe even, you know, if we went back to, like you said, the War of the States, you know, there were a lot of political things that occurred in Congress before that war started, which are kind of mirrored and echoed in what we're seeing today. Not, I don't think they're quite as severe, but so that just makes me think, yeah, that's really important that the Ezra and Nehemiah recorded the Chronicles to try to help those who came back from Babylon to remember the things. Not so they wouldn't get kicked out of the land again. I guess I could
Do you
summarize it
know
that way.
why it's so important that God said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? And then you have things like where he says, 7 days you shall keep the Feast of Tabernacles. 7 days, 7 days. You know, and when God specifically lays things out, it's because he knows the proclivity of humans. For those of you that like to read my letter ahead of time, I posted it yesterday. The spirit of Christmas, and this is what's ironic. I told Gail, I talk about, I don't want to ruin the letter, but you can read it. It's online. It's posted. It will be sent out to all of you on Friday, but it's online if you want to read it. But what's amazing is people will read that and still send a donation at the end of the year. And knowing how that rips apart Christmas, I wouldn't send somebody a donation after reading that. But it just shows you if your mind is blinded, or some people don't get all worked up about things. They just say, "Ah, that's your opinion. That's fine." People tell me, "You're too old school. You get too upset about what's going on in the world. It's just the way it is now." I was sitting. I turned on the Roku channel to live TV. I was looking for a specific thing, and I don't watch much TV, but it had a new channel, and the introduction was for queers only. And I'm like, you got to be kidding. Well, someone told me, you just overreact. It's not any worse than it's ever been. Oh, I disagree. Well, you've just gotten old and picky. No, it's never been this bad. In your face in this country, maybe other nations. Back in the time of Christ, it was awful. But we read about that last time. as we finish the book of Judges. And in the days of Lot, it was bad. But they didn't have social media like we have now, and the internet, and all this stuff. And sometimes we're very quickly to say, it's all Satan. It's Satan, Satan, Satan. It's his world. Blah, blah, blah. We just rant, rave about that instead of realizing it's our own rotten, stinking, carnal human nature. Yes, exacerbated by the spirit of the children of disobedience and our adversary, but we have our part to play as human beings. That's why God doesn't say, I'm not going to do anything to any of the humans so that they repent, just Satan. And so it's important how I also see a mixture. And I'm just going to say this. Some of us spend a lot of time on social media, reading things, commenting, and our comments reflect just like what took place here. We have forgotten some of the things that really happened. I saw a very, very long post by a guy who has a church group today on why he emphatically believes that there is no round earth. It's a flat earth, and he has everything laid out to prove it. And so many people, some names I recognize, yeah, finally you said it. This is so true. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. But it never ends. Somebody's an authority on something, some cockamamie idea they made up in their head and twisted scripture to explain it. And it sucks us into it if we're not careful. In history, here's what I've done. When I've traveled many countries, international, I at times will go to the library and look, what does their history teach about their country and our country? It's unbelievable. But that's what they're raised to believe there. Listen, children, you shall hear the midnight rite of Israel Bissell. It wasn't Paul Revere. Huh? He was there, yeah, for about 120 yards. Go look it up. Research it out. And there's things that took place, still take place. What do you believe? Because our adversary is so incredibly brilliant, light years ahead of us, no pun intended. And without God's spirit, we'll get turned in every direction if we're not yielding to it. And then we still have to be so super careful. So it's easy to forget our past. I have spent over the decades, hours and hours. When I was in college, I read so many papers. We didn't have computers, they were just coming out. We had one that had a word processor up in the library in the top. But we didn't have personal computers, didn't have laptops, didn't have phones. And so they didn't have the World Wide Web. But people would write in to papers then in Pasadena, and I would get 20, 30 pages, college ruled, if you all remember what that is, written really small with pencil or pen and all the margins, 20, 30 pages on the right calendar to use, how you count Pentecost, how to properly pronounce the Father in Jesus' name. What we shouldn't and should do on the Sabbath. I read all these papers. That's been 40 some years ago. So none of this is new. And so part of the reason a lot of this was recorded was because God knew we would forget. And it says what? When the beast power and all this takes place, it will deceive, if possible, even the very elect. That's different than the elect. The very elect. So if we think we're smart enough to be able to determine if it's the truth or not, and remember, I had a discussion with someone the other day. They said, and I'm not making a big thing out of this, but when did Herbert Armstrong die? They were emphatic. Boom, boom, boom. I said, no, it was January of 1986. It was not. I said, I was right there with Gerald Waterhouse when the phone call came through that he had just died. And I went back because I made notes, and yes, it was. It was not. It was this date. And so People get locked in. They know something. And it's like, okay, why? When did this take place? When did this happen? When did, and if we're not grounded, and we have to be willing to say, and sometimes we just don't know. We have no idea. We do the best we can with scripture, but we don't know. But we can't base our lives on something. It's why I tell people, I don't know how to keep the Sabbath perfectly. I've never done it. I don't. Well, you should do this and do that, and shouldn't do this and shouldn't do that. Okay. So as we go through this, read ahead if you would, please, so you're familiar with what we're going to talk about. Write down if you have questions. You can email those in or call me, or we can discuss it. That's fine. It's going to get detailed, some of it. But again, we are going to try to harmonize so we have a story flow of Samuel, Chronicles, and Kings. And it's just like when you're fishing, Bill and I can tell you this. If you get in heavy weeds, you need to get out of those because your boat motor will get caught in it, your rod and reel, your lure rather will get caught, and you'll have a mess. So you stay out of the weeds. And some of these weeds, we don't know. So I'm not going to get into some of them. Sometimes I may say, I have no comment on that. I don't know, or I don't believe that's really important. But we'll have fun. We'll learn something. And Gail's idea of the chronological Bible, I think, would be helpful to go through if you want to do that. And I don't for a minute have all the answers or know everything. Absolutely not. But I do know what the truth is, and I will help try to keep us anchored and solid on the foundation and not off on some tangent because it sounds interesting. I will try to do that to the best of my ability, which as I age isn't quite as ability as it used to be ability, but.
Question.
Yes, sir.
Do you have the list of the kings chronological order on the website?
I do not on the website. I don't think so.
Yeah, I couldn't find mine, so I looked on the website and I couldn't find it.
Yeah, I don't have a lot on the website that I would like to put on there. Part of it's time, part of it is time, part of it is time. But part of it is I just don't have, I have some things that I may have been given at one time or used that I don't really feel are 100% or really completely accurate. So I don't put them up there. But if you send me an email.
I went online and I found one online.
Okay, well, send it to me then.
All right.
Then I'll have it. And then when you do that, then I'll find mine. But all right. Anybody else have any comments, thoughts? Think this will be interesting? Should be.
Yep.
Should be. Okay. I appreciate all you being on, and thank you for your support and being here week after week. And as I mentioned, Noe is on here, so just pray for Noe as he prepares for, looks like, surgery. And you can go back if you missed, came in late and missed part of what we talked about. It's important, I think, to go back and listen to that. I would. Then you can catch up and kind of follow the story flow. And may you be warm and filled, spiritually and physically in some cases. And may your hibiscus tea overflow into your Cacao. Okay, let me see. Last time my mom prayed, if I remember right. And I don't want to ask for a volunteer because I get in trouble doing that. Bill, you're still awake, sir. I think so. So would
You
you?
sure about that?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know about anything anymore. Yes, I do. Bill, would you close in prayer?
Sure. Almighty and all-powerful God, we thank you so much that you've given us this opportunity that we can come and listen to your Bible being explained. Father, we ask you that you will open up our minds and our hearts so that we can go through these books of Samuel, Chronicles, and Kings, and that we can get the information that you want us to have. You reveal when it's time, when it's the appointed time for us to understand. And Father, we do need your help. And we ask that you will be with all of your people everywhere, that you will guide us by your spirit and help us to learn by reading your word and studying your word. Father, we ask that you will help those who are in either financial or health issues, and that you will take care of us. I ask you that be with all of us every day of the week, and we ask you these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.